the Public News Service DOAA Newscast, September the 21st, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. Young voters in states like Georgia could shift the political landscape of the state in the near future.
New data from the Brookings Institute indicates that millennials and Generation Z make up the largest generations and tend to favor the Democratic Party. Michael Hayes is the former vice president of the research-based consulting firm Frank and Maggot Associates. He believes that this generation's diversity could be the driving force behind changes in politics over the next few years.
Those under 45 are very distinctively different in their demographic composition, their partisanship, their political attitudes, and their media usage than voters who are over 45.
Research also reveals millennials and Gen Z will make up the majority of potential voters by 2028. Shantia Hudson reporting.
According to research from the Alliance, a majority of young Democratic voters prioritize protecting abortion access and other key issues like democracy reform. Republicans are more concerned about the economy and inflation. Attorney General Merrick Garland offered a fiery defense of the Justice Department's investigation of Hunter Biden Wednesday, telling a House committee he was not Congress's prosecutor and would not reveal details of the inquiry, no matter how much pressure lawmakers applied. That from the New York Times. The Times reports during a grueling hearing before the House Judiciary Committee, Garland repeatedly refused to answer questions about internal deliberations or offer explanations for decision-making in the investigation or the two federal indictments of former President Donald Trump. And people in rural America are five times more likely to live in so-called ambulance deserts, areas far from an ambulance service or station, than those in urban areas.
The study from the Maine Rural Health Research Center says half of all residents who live in ambulance deserts are in rural areas, more than 25 minutes from an ambulance station. Keokuk, along the banks of the Mississippi in eastern Iowa, has seen its population shrink to fewer than 10,000, with a sharp decline in ambulance service. City Administrator Cole O'Donnell says the situation got worse when officials were forced to close the local hospital.
It frightened a lot of people. I know that we have older people that moved out of Keokuk to some place closer to a hospital. You know, they had health problems, and if something happened, they couldn't wait those extra minutes or even the extra minutes of getting them from Keokuk to a hospital.
In addition to trying to bolster a county ambulance service, O'Donnell says Keokuk is working to help reopen the local hospital as a federally designated rural emergency hospital. I'm Mark Moran.
This is Public News Service. South Dakota health leaders say it could be a challenge to reach people eligible for a long-standing nutrition assistance program for at-risk new mothers and young children.
The Center for the Prevention of Child Maltreatment, part of the University of South Dakota, says a $1 million federal grant will bring together partner groups and public health offices to enhance outreach for the program known as WIC. Rhonda Buntrock with the State Department of Health says across South Dakota, about 70% of those eligible are accessing the benefits. She says closing that remaining gap will help produce better outcomes.
Overall, we would hopefully see increased breastfeeding rates across the state. We would see decrease in obesity rates.
National participation numbers are worse, with only about half of those eligible actually participating. In South Dakota, health officials say there can be language barriers or other information gaps. The project aims to study those barriers, establish mobile units, and improve training for WIC staff. I'm Mike Moen.
A new grant aims to boost that outreach. While many Wyomingites of Hispanic descent came from Mexico, there is a lesser-known population from the old Spanish settlements of southern New Mexico.
Dr. Tricia Martinez with the University of Wyoming has been documenting oral histories of families who came to the cowboy state along the Manito Trail, a corridor now occupied by Interstate 25. She says most came to work and support their families.
Northern New Mexico, the reality was really hard in terms of socioeconomic conditions, and so migrating outside of the state was a necessity for survival.
Workers from New Mexico and southern Colorado were recruited to work on the railroad, in the sugar beet industry, and as sheep herders in the early 20th century. I'm Eric Galatas.
Finally, Danielle Smith lets us know Pennsylvania governments could save taxpayers millions and reduce pollution by transitioning their fleets to electric vehicles.
Currently, there are over 40,000 electric vehicles registered in the Keystone State, according to the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation. Flora Cordoni with Penn Environment Research and Policy Center says government shifting to electric vehicles would significantly reduce fuel and maintenance costs, which also improves air quality. She adds that Pennsylvania could save taxpayers more than $360 million by transitioning government fleets to electric vehicles.
The switch to electric vehicles to light-duty vehicles would also reduce global warming pollution in Pennsylvania by more than 800,000 tons, emitting 64% less than vehicles powered by gasoline. So that's huge in helping us tackle the climate crisis. And then at the same time, the switch would also clean up our air.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. Here are some great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.